be good to sort of back off and evaluate a little bit what more, what's good about the habit or what we can expect. It occurs to me, this may be a little simplistic, but it occurs to me that perhaps there are two things that we can expect, we have a right to pray for when we come to church. And one is that we receive the instruction that we need, the encouragement that we need, and also correction if we need it. And so with that in mind, let's just pause briefly for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this occasion. We thank you for this privilege of coming together once more to gather around your word and to see how we look in your mirror. We ask that you would just direct this portion of the service that would bring honor and glory to you and would bring us whatever encouragement and whatever correction we may be needing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may open your Bibles to Psalm 139 if you care to. We'll go there a little later. And I've entitled the meditation, Planning Ahead. And I think in the midst of our busy schedules, it is sometimes difficult for us to keep track of long-term implications in light of present developments. And I always look to Moses as a prime example of one who was able to look ahead and to make decisions that honored and respected that look. Now, we're not like Moses in terms of having a major part in God's history, but we are like Moses in that we can identify with what he said and what he did. Came a time in his life, he could have chosen royalty, I guess, but he felt the call of God on his life. It was misguided at first, but the call was still with him. And he did essentially two things. He decided who he was going to live with, who he was going to follow, and the people he was going to associate with. We could call it identity. The other thing that he was careful to do was to evaluate the outcome. And I think on those two things, ordinary people can follow Moses' example. And we are ordinary people, mostly at least. I'm going to do something this morning that may not be necessary, but I had the urge somehow. And I would just invite you to pray with me that if I have a burden or a concern that's not God-given, that God would take the burden away. And if it is God-given, that he would give wisdom in how to respond to it. There was a time when some of us came to church with horse and buggy, and so it was difficult to figure exactly how long this would take. But with modern transportation, we can pretty much figure it right down to the fine line. We know how long it takes to drive to church. Question I would like to raise, how well are we doing with that? How important is punctuality to us as we attend church? And I realize that this morning seemed like most of you were here, and that's good. And maybe that is more general than I realize. But I'm going to raise some questions, and one is, one question is this: how many of us would feel it would be better to be a little early than to be a little late? If tardiness is habit-forming, and I think it is, could punctuality also become a habit? 5 minutes early is not wasted time. You know, we can be prayerful, and we can be getting in the frame of mind for worship. Are there not good reasons why habitual tardiness in the classroom and in places of business is not acceptable? There's a local business that puts enough value on tardiness that if they don't clock in at starting time, there's a penalty, $5 penalty. I don't know what they do with those $5. Maybe they don't get any $5, but I thought that was rather interesting. In other words, they apparently feel the motivation or the need to be motivated to not be late to work. And I don't want to overemphasize the importance of this, but I do feel it is sufficiently important that we should want to be on time or a little early. And I think that we would agree that it seems many times we could stand some improvement. I recognize that even with the best of intentions and the best of planning sometimes, we are a few minutes late. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'd like to talk a little bit about, like to piggyback a little bit on some things we've heard recently in messages. If I were to ask for a show of hands, how many of you remember what David preached about last Sunday? I think we'd get a few hands. I think probably if I would just prime you a little bit, well, we'd get more hands. And at least I would be that way if I were in your place. And David entitled his message, I believe, "The Sovereignty of Man." And he enlarged upon the idea that man is a creature of, is a free moral agent. He can choose, and how true that is. And we don't want to lose sight of that important truth. That it's so very, very important. It is at the same time, and David mentioned this. He said, "Our freedom does not include controlling the consequences of wrong choices." And if we keep that always in mind, it can be a tremendous motivation to be sure that we're making the right choices. Another thing I'd like to mention was something that Arlen preached several weeks ago when he said that he's concerned that joining church is not just a rite of passage. I think that's a very legitimate concern. In other words, church membership is a part. It needs to be a part of the Christian life. The person who makes a commitment to the Lord will want to identify with the body of believers. It is true that that there can be that confusion, but what is so important is that when there is a candidate for church membership, that this person realizes that this is not something to be taken lightly, or is not to become a substitute for a sincere commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, if it becomes merely a matter of a rite of passage, as Arlen named it, and then a person like this is only a nominal Christian, what do we mean by that? Only a Christian in name only. And that is most regrettable. And it can happen, but it need not happen. And so I just wanted to support that Arlen had said. I feel like it deserves our careful consideration. A choice is a one-time thing, the right choice. But it is not only a one-time thing. We choose to follow the Lord, and then we continue to make choices that are consistent with that initial commitment. And something came out in a recent, the current issue of Calvary Messenger that I think is very, very pertinent. And it underscores the fact that our enemy, too, is aware that we get to choose. And he tries to capitalize on that. And here is something that appeared on the first page of Calvary Messenger by Joshua Smith. I don't know who he is, but here's what he says. "I stood at the crossroads one day for a decision I needed to make, to the left or the right. Which way shall I go? The road to the left looked wide and exciting. It was smooth and easy with the gentle slope. The road to the right looked narrow and wearisome, filled with stumbling blocks and thorns. I shaded my eyes and tried in vain to see where each road would lead, but they quickly disappeared in the mist. At the head of each way stood a figure, doing his best to convince me that his way was the best. The figure on the left said his road was well maintained, heavily traveled, and safe, with plenty of attractions along the way. The figure on the right told of a road filled with danger, toils, and snares, but he promised a guide and a home and a crown. With a start, I remembered that I had a guidebook. In it, I found that the one leads to death and the other to life. Suddenly, I recognized the two figures. The one was the devil dressed as the world, the other Christ. And as I turned to take the road to the right, the devil threw off all his guise and began to hurl fiery darts. He charged. He claimed I was a traitor. He said I was too great a sinner. He betrayed that I was insincere. He roared many a lie. But the Holy Spirit gently said, "The just shall live by faith." So I took his armor and walked with him, and he has never let me down. Turning now to Psalm 139 for just a few words there. Beginning, this is very selective, but beginning to read at verse 14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, being yet unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." I'm going to drop down now to the last two verses in the psalm. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's kneel for prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a Father who loves us, who knows our needs, who knows what encouragement we need today, who knows what correction we need today. Thank you for the prospect of hearing exhortation from one another as we assembled in the Sunday school classes. Be with the time of sharing, and be with the one who brings the message today. Prepare our hearts, make us teachable, make us humble, make us receptive, what you would show us today. Lead us in right paths, and keep us always unto eternal life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, David, for sharing. This time for the Sunday school, I want to again welcome each one here. I see a few visitors. We're glad to have Justin with us for the week. And the rest of you are equally welcome. I just don't know your names. So we invite you to participate in our Sunday school classes. Michael Yutzi's class will be going to George Compton's, so you can assemble whenever you wish. Also, Joe Yoder has agreed to share in the Sunday school superintendent duties. So welcome, Joe, and thank you for that. At this time, let's dismiss the teachers in the basement. The preschool and primary students. And the juniors and intermediates. The adult lesson today is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, and then 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11. Let's assemble in our classes.